May I speak in the words of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. As a child, I grew up with the Book of Common Prayer. And although this isn't what we use for our services anymore, in many places, in our church we don't, but there are other churches that still use the Book of Common Prayer for, particularly Evensong. It is the most beautiful language in some ways. It's very patriarchal, and that's hard to get past some days. But actually, the language that it uses is very poetic. And one of the prayers for morning prayer goes like this. O Holy and Heavenly Father, in whom we move and have our being, we, thy needy creatures, render thee our humble praises for thy preservation of us from the beginning of our lives to this day, and especially for having delivered us from the dangers of the past night. To thy watchful providence we owe it, that we are brought in safety to the beginning of this day. For these thy mercies we bless and magnify thy glorious name, humbly beseeching thee to accept this, our morning sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, for his sake who lay down in the grave and rose again for us, thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a prayer that reminds us that every single morning there are new blessings to be given to us, even in times of trouble, even in times of worry. God gives us what we need for each day, and taking each day as it comes, we can be given the strength and find the strength to carry on. In our readings today, we have Paul talking to the Athenians, and he's talking to them about what he's seen in the city there. He's gone and looked very carefully at the objects of their worship, and he's found all sorts of different gods to whom they go and offer thanksgiving and sacrifice, the gods to whom they take their gifts, asking for what they need and for what they would like. And in amongst them, he finds an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. There's something that they already know about this unknown God. There's something in their heart and in their mind that has sparked that interest in something other than they already have. And is that something other, the something that is outside of our explanation, that perhaps is the spark that draws us into relationship with God, draws us into relationship with Jesus Christ? It's that spark that makes our imaginations begin to work. It's that spark that sets our hearts on fire with love for God. And that comes from the common worship morning prayer. That spark that sets our minds, our hearts, and therefore our souls alight with love. Because even when it is unknown to us, we are getting in touch with that spark of life that God has put in us. That Paul speaks of the unknown God as the one who gives us breath and says to the Athenians, this is the God in whom we live and move and have our being. You don't set up an altar to an unknown God unless you know that there is something that you're not knowing, but do intrinsically know. It's kind of the ripples of a pool, if you like. There's a spark, a stone that you drop in, and the ripples go out. And if you watch them, they will cross over one another and they go right to the edge of the pool. And then you can imagine the reverberation coming back the other way across the water. Or maybe it's a little bit like when you get waves on the beach crossing into one another. One wave comes in as the tide is also going back, and you see the ripple effect of the water. That spark in us, that's breathed into us as we are given life by God, is so deep-seated that sometimes we can't get hold of it, but it is always there. And most crucially, it is in all of us. Whatever we look like on the outside, it is all and always in us. Paul talks to the Athenians of this unknown God who has made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, who does not live in shrines built by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as if he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. The people in Athens are being asked by Paul to have a look at what they are worshipping, who they are worshipping, how they are worshipping. We are being asked all of those same questions now. And it's very apt for us as church at the moment, for those who are perhaps on the fringes of the church, maybe listening to this, or those who have been faithful throughout all their lives, to ask those questions. What are we worshipping? How are we worshipping? Why are we worshipping? What have we made idols out of? Perhaps our traditions are the idols that we worship. And when all of that is stripped away and we are left with unknowing, then it is then that the spark of God comes to life. I wonder what the idols in your life are at the moment. I wonder what the idols are for our church in the broadest terms. And I wonder, as we read those words about the unknown God, how have we come to know God? In what ways do we know God? How in your life has God been present with you? How has he made himself known to you? If I think about my own life, it is in dreams and in visions, in poetry and in art, in family and in friends, in good food and good conversation, and definitely in music of every kind. All of those things set my heart and my soul on fire. They're the things that pull God out of me or make me more aware of God in the world. I can remember singing in a performance of The Armed Man in Gloucester Cathedral in 2008 now, so that's 12 years ago. And the combination of the music and the dancers who were provided from Ribston School, they were sixth formers, and the combination of the music and the dance together just took my breath away. It was extraordinary, and the spark that was set alight in that moment, I will never forget that moment. There's also a moment in the Tate Gallery in St Ives, and I've spoken of this before, but in case you haven't heard me say, I was taking the children there. We were on holiday in Cornwall, and I came round the corner and there was a Mark Rothko picture on the wall. It's still there to this day. It's still in the same place. I went to see it at the end of February. Thank goodness I did, because I think it's probably going to be a long time until I see it again. And in that moment, it was as if God had smacked me round the face. It had taken my breath away again. And it wasn't just a head thing, it was a heart thing, but it was a soul thing. It was a real sense of a hitting into the centre of me, an upwelling of the spirit in that moment. And it's that spirit that leads us to know God, so that God isn't unknown. He isn't some far distant person who isn't interested in our lives. Our gospel reading is Jesus promising that he does not leave us alone, that he will not put that distance between us, that because of him, God is completely known, that he will leave the Spirit with us so that we are not orphaned, that we might not have his physical presence with us, but we will have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. You know him, says Jesus, because he abides with you. Because God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit abide in us, and they are the ones who give us our movement and our being and our life. We know God. It's just that sometimes we can't get in touch with him, and there seems to be too much of a gap. We know him because the spark of life is deep within us, within our hearts, and within our minds. And we know him because of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh come to dwell with us. We know the unknown God because we see the love of Christ for all. We see his mercy, his forgiveness, and his constant care and service of other people. We see in Christ his absolute humanity, his weeping and his anger, fully and wholly humankind. But we see also the divine, the one who can command sins to be forgiven, command demons to come out, command healing where there has been none, to walk on water and to call people to faith, to feed people when they are hungry, and to love people into being the best version of themselves, to love people into knowing that spark in their heart and setting them free to run with it. That's why our God is not unknown. Our God is known. And our God is known through Christ who hangs on the cross, and in the resurrected Christ on that first morning in the garden of Geth of not of Gethsemane. First morning in the garden, we know God. He is within us. It is with him that we have all our movement and our being. Jesus ends with his disciples saying, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." There is nothing unknown about God that does not come about from loving him. God reveals himself to us through Jesus Christ, and we have access to him through that same Jesus Christ. The love flows two ways, from God to us, from us to God. And in so doing, the love surrounds the whole of his creation. The very last thing that Paul asks the people in Athens to do is to repent, to come away from gold and silver, stone and image, to put down their idols and to turn back instead to the God who calls us his children, who offers us life and gives us hope, even on the darkest of days. I pray then that this time, as difficult as it may be for all of us, might be a time for us to realise what idols we have and to let those idols go, however hard it is to do that, but trusting that, as Jesus says, he does not leave us as orphans. He has given the Spirit into our hearts that we may be given the strength to step out each and every day in the knowledge that God knows us and we know him. Amen.